those of you who plan to attend, please register. I believe today is the last day to register for it. I sent a link to the leadership of the church, and please let me know if you need that information again. Please note the address of our church where you can mail your tithes and offerings. And if any of you know that there are people who, I know some in our community that are being affected by the pandemic, who are struggling to put food on their table or struggling to pay their rent, please let me know. Call me at that number or text me. We'll talk with them and find out what we can do to assist them. The attendance and collections are listed there at the bottom. Thank you for all your donations and tithes and participation. Let us continue to pray and give for the purpose of the ministry in this community and around the world. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements? Anyone else here or online? No other announcements? It's good to be here again, worshiping together with you. Every day is a gift from God, and I always say that when you get up in the morning and look out the window, you can see the sunlight. That is one more day that you're thankful for. And also, these are opportunities that God has given us, even in the middle of these struggles that we are going through. We are a happy, a fortunate group of people that we can continue worshiping together, at least in this fashion, and thank God for that. And also, the various ways that God is giving us and guiding us during these days, let us pray that God will give us the direction to go and do ministry in this community. Let us start our worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 384, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us. Another Sunday that we can come together in this Pentecost season again, that we can worship you together in various ways, including online and in church here. Thank you for the good health and strength you have given us in our bodies to get up this morning and to gather together to praise you. It is only because of your mercies that we are alive. It is not because of what we done or what we are. It is only because of your love and who you are. We thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. Above all, thank you for the gift of salvation that you have given us through your Son Jesus Christ, so that we can come together as your children, one Father, one Spirit, and worship together as one body, along with all the saints in this world and in heaven. As the psalmist writes, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. We have a place near you, your altar, O Lord God Almighty, our King and our God. Thank you, Lord, for being there as our Father, our guide and our counselor every day. And you sustain us every day, regardless of where we are. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection. Be with us today as we gather together to worship you. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit, that your name will be lifted up in all the singings, in our prayers, in the meditation of the word that we do here, in everything we do. Let your name be glorified and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's our greeting time used for our fellowship. We can all stand up and say hi to each other, and also online as well.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
We have a few people here in our sanctuary. We have Penny, Jack, and Linda, and we have Eddie. Now, as we get settled, the choir is going to sing the anthem. It is Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Please remain seated.
Thank you.
Now we have the responsive reading. Psalm 4, 1 through 8. If you are able, please stand. Please use the insert in the middle.
Answer me when I call, O God of my right.
You have given me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
How long, O people, shall my honor suffer shame?
How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the righteous as God's own.
The Lord hears when I call.
Be angry, but do not sin.
Commune with your own hearts and in your heads be silent.
Offer right sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good.
Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart than they have when they were grain and wine abundant.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Thank you. It's our prayer time that we come together as a church family to share our prayers of praises together and thank God for all the numerous blessings that we receive in our lives, and be grateful for all the blessings we receive. And also at the same time, we lift up our burdens and concerns to God. God is a faithful God who listens to all of our prayers, and He will answer according to His time and His will. And that is His promise, and that's what we believe. So let us use this time to share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God and share our prayers of burdens so that we can lift them up to the throne of grace of God for Him to answer according to His will. The prayer list, our regular prayer list is on the back of the bulletin. If you want to follow that, it will be posted online as well. Please use this as a regular prayer list for your prayer time. Post that on your refrigerator or your study desk, and then use that as a list for prayer every day. A few items to call out in the list. We know that Martha has joined today after her surgery. She is recovering well, but she has to continue with her chemo a few more months. So let us keep her in our prayers to have complete healing. And when we, people of God, united in faith, pray, God listens to our prayers and will answer prayers. And let us continue to pray for Martha. I had a text from Dean that with the family in Hawaii doing better. She's going through physical therapy now, and they can come home pretty soon. They both were affected by the COVID while they were visiting family in Hawaii. Let us pray for our church as we meet next week for our annual conference. It's going to be a very short, used to be a 1 week conference in Athens, now condensed into 2 days online. So it's going to be a quick meeting. Let us pray that God will guide the leadership of the church, our bishop and the cabinet, and all the leadership of the church, that we will plan for the next coming year and continue our ministry faithfully. We have Jack and Linda here. We'll continue to pray for you, Jack, and thanks for being here. And Eddie, thanks for joining us today. We'll keep you in our prayers as well for your health. Let us keep our country as a whole in our prayer. As you all know, we are going through this pandemic. At the same time, we are going to face an election this year, presidential election. So all of these things are adding up to our stress in our daily lives. Even the kids in our schools are stressed out. Unlike any time in history, we have a lot of things coming together as a country. We are being pushed and pulled from different directions. Let us stay in our course of faith. This is the time that God's people can rise up to the challenge. And we have somebody whom we can trust. And God is always faithful. Let us put our trust in Him completely, no matter what the situation is. He is in control. And give the wisdom and the guidance our national leadership needs to continue with the process of the election, and also to find a solution to the pandemic and the economic crisis that we are in. Everything will work out. We know that. God has a plan for everything. But let us diligently pray for the president and the leadership of this country and the governors of the state. Let us also pray for the frontline workers of our health care, doctors and nurses and the technicians, and also those people who are doing our daily activities to supply our food and grocery, delivery people and the store clerks, and all those people who have been behind the scene working when we are shut down in our homes. Many times they are risking their lives. So let us be thankful for their service and also pray for them. Let us continue to pray for our church here in this community. God has given us this opportunity so that we can continue our ministry here even in the midst of this difficult situation. God is blessing us. Let us continue to be faithful to God's call in this area. And let us pray that God will guide us with His Holy Spirit to continue His mission in this community. We'll pray for the people who are in the path of the tropical storm. Anyone else online want to share anything? If not, let us go to God in prayer together as a family. Spend a few moments in silent prayer where we can share our unspoken prayers to God. And I will close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. Again, as we come before You as Your children, sharing our prayers of blessings and concerns together. Thank You for always being there, listening to our prayers, even in the midst of our stressful situations. You are there giving us the peace that we need. Thank You for the life that You have given us in this world with all its joys and blessings, particularly that we have shared here many blessings, and we thank You for that. We thank You for the new birthdays that Margaret shared for the son and grandchild that they were celebrating. Thank You for a new year in their life, and bless them again in this year, Lord, so that they will be a blessing to this world. We thank You for continued healing for Ashley Miller as she has recovered. We pray that You will be with them as a family and guide them in the future, and thank You for full recovery for her, and pray for full recovery for her. We pray for Martha and family, particularly thank You for the successful surgery and the recovery progress that she is making. Be with her, Lord, as she is continuing with the chemo. We pray that Your special grace be upon her and the doctors and the people who care for her, that it will be a complete recovery that we are praying for. And we know that You are a faithful God who answers our prayers when we unite our faith in prayer. We continue to be with them. We pray for the family of Cher, family that they are grieving at the death of their dear one. We pray that Your peace that passeth all understanding will be rule in their hearts and minds, and also comfort them with Your presence in their family. We pray for those people who are affected by the storm that is coming in the path of the storm. We pray that You will give them the grace and the patience and protect them and give them the safety, Lord. We also pray for our nation as a whole and the world as a whole as we are struggling through this pandemic period. We pray that you will bring an end to this disease by some resolution to have a medicine or a vaccine for it. We know that you are in control and you have a purpose behind it. Help us, Lord, to not to lose patience or faith, but to trust in a God who is eternal, who never changes. Lord, help us, Lord, through this time and bring an end to this pandemic. We also pray for the national leadership of this country, politically and socially. We are struggling as a nation with many situations that we are struggling with, our social, our economic, our political, all turmoils that we are seeing around us. But in the midst of that, Lord, you have given us the privilege to be your children, to be peaceful, and to be agents of peace and love in the midst of hatred and violence. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to spread your love in this world, in this time and situation. We pray for this country as we are facing election this year. We pray that you will have a smooth election. There will be a smooth transition of whatever power that leaders that you will bring in, that we will all accept your will in this country in the future. Thank you for blessing us here today with the fellowship that we have and the worship service that we have here today. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Continue to bless us with your presence, Lord, that we can worship you in truth and in spirit. Lift your name up and bless your people, Lord. As we meditate on your word, open our hearts and minds so that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's the offertory time now. The ushers will come and collect the tithes and offerings.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Loving God, we thank you for giving us this time together as we can come together and share not only our presence but also our gifts and offerings. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. You do not change like shifting shadows. You are the source of all that we have and all we are. O merciful and gracious God, we thank you for opening your hearts and blessing us with all the things that we need in our lives. At this time, we offer ourselves and a portion of what you have given us back to you. May we find joy as we freely give our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service to support the ministry of this church and the church at large in this world. We ask you to accept this offering of your people. We thank you for those who were able to give joyfully, and also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The scripture reading is taken from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Miss Lou will be reading from online.
Now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place that God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place far off. Then, and Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go young and with it, and we will come back to it. So Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, so where is the lamb of the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac and his son and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord came to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hands on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son from your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in his right hand. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord was abide, and even said to his back, in the mouth of the Lord he shall be provided. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word that you have given us, for our peace, for our comfort, and for our consolation. Bless us, Lord, with your word today, that it will become life and spirit in us, and become life and spirit to this world through us. Illumine our souls and open our hearts and minds, and help us to have an obedient spirit, so that we can obey your word, whatever you teach us through this. Bless us with your presence and the power as we go from this place, so that we can be powerful witnesses for you in the days to come wherever you place us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We are continuing with the study of Genesis, and we are here with the story of Abraham. A very difficult passage to preach on, where God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son that he was looking forward to for years. And it's a very difficult passage to preach on, but at the same time it is a very important passage for Christians and also Jews and Muslims. They all consider this event as an important event in our history of faith. What does it teach us in addition to the traumatic incident that is listed there? Let us look into that a little bit today. I was reading a story. A man was walking along a narrow path, and he was not paying much attention, and he slipped and fell into an edge of a cliff. So as he fell, he grabbed a branch of tree that was hanging around, on that cliff, and was hanging on to that, and realized that he could not hanging there too long. So he called up for help. He started calling up for help there and said, "Is there anybody up there?" And then the voice came up and said, "Yes, I am here." So the man asked, Who are you? Who is that?" The voice said, "This is God." Then man said, "God, help me." And the voice came back and asked him, "Do you really trust me?" And then the man said, "Yes, I completely trust you." Then the voice came back from God and said, "Good, let go of the branch." The man said, "What?" Well, the voice said again, "Let go of the branch." And then the man was silent for a few moments and then said, "Is there anybody up there again? Anybody else up there?" So we don't like some of the things that we get in our lives. And we wish it were something different. Like the dangling man on the cliffhanger, we can get very afraid. Our daily lives are built around people and things that we enjoy. It could be our family, our spouse, our children, our friends, our church, our job, our hobby, our possessions, or whatever it be. These are things that we consider as pillars of our support system. If one of them is removed, we feel as though the framework of our life and the support around us collapsed. So what do you do in situations like that? Just let it go. It's very easy to say, but it's very hard to hear that message. Abraham was a man who had to live a life of stress ever since he was called to take the journey to that unknown place. And we saw several of those in the past when we talked about his life and journey. He was promised a son. Not only a son, he was promised that there will be generations will come through him. But he did not have a son for a long time. So Sarah came up with a plan to have another child through another woman, and he recalled the stresses and the problems that came after that. Hagar, the servant girl from Egypt that they picked up while they were there, during a famine they had to go and live in Egypt for some time, and they picked up a lot of stuff from there, and one of them was that Hagar, that servant maid. And finally she had a child from Abraham, and then Hagar and Sarah could not get along. Hagar left and then came back. All of that in the middle, Abraham was struggling with all the stress because of that. Then they have this son from the from Hagar, Ishmael, and then he started growing up, and eventually God fulfilled his promise that Sarah will have a son, and she had a son, Isaac. And when that child was born, things are not going better, it is getting more complicated. Now Ishmael despises Isaac, and they could not get along. And that will add to the struggle of Sarah and Hagar. They could not get along. In the middle of all of these problems is Abraham. And look, all the web that he and Sarah were weaving, along with all the things that were happening in their lives, Abraham had to say goodbye to Hagar and son Ishmael. It's not an easy task, and we talked about that before. He had to let go of Hagar and her son Ishmael. Now here he has his promised son, his loving, dear, loving wife, and thought everything was going to be okay. Once Hagar and son left, it's going to be peaceful. Here is God who is going to bless us, and we have the son that he promised. Everything was going okay, and boom. Now God is asking him to give up his promised son that he had been waiting for that long. Tough, isn't it? It is not easy when we need to give up or part with the things that we dearly love. And the test of faith in our lives are real tests. There are several things that I have preached before. There is a test, there is a trial, and there's also temptation. So we need to understand the difference between all of them. That we probably, it's a different topic we'll be preaching later on or again sometime. But tests are different from trials or temptations. Temptations have an evil motive behind it. You and I are being tempted. Jesus was tempted in the desert to do things that are tempting to our body and our flesh. But tests have a benevolent or a good purpose behind it, providing improvement for the quality of our life, quality of our faith. And there are many tests that we have to go through in our lives, right? The schools, we have tests that are not easy sometimes. And I used to struggle with tests a lot. I spend nights and nights thinking about the test when I need to prepare for the test. And then lose my sleep and ultimately come to the test with tired and no sleep. Maybe probably some of you have that experience. I struggle with tests a lot. Even though I do better in tests, I have a lot of stress that builds up before the test. And sometimes I used to get diarrhea too. that makes it worse, isn't it? It's not going to get better with all of these things. But tests are with a benevolent purpose behind it, to make you better, to progress you in your path. But temptations are with an evil purpose, where you will be tempted to satisfy your fleshly things so that you will be pulled down if you fail. But in the temptation, there is also a test in it, inherent in it. That is part of temptation. But test is something that we all have to go through. And Abraham had the same thing in his life. He had to go through that. And we read that by faith, Abraham, when he was tested to offer up Isaac, he passed the test. That we read that also in Hebrews. So whenever we go through tests of any kind, we need to take a step behind and back and say that, what are we going through and why are we doing this? We may not have to go through this ultimate stress test, I call, that Abraham had to do to give up his son as a sacrifice to God. We may not have to go through that situation, but we may get closer with many things that we had to give up or God had taken away from our lives. And the ultimate test that I call the ultimate stress test of faith happened to Abraham. When God tested Abraham, that's what we read, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the mountain of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain. Like I said, this is a very difficult passage to preach on because it goes against everything that we believe. First of all, does God really like human sacrifice? Particularly if we look and read in Deuteronomy, it says God forbids human sacrifice. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, it definitely clearly states that God does not like human sacrifice. And that was a time from the pagans around that around the world were doing human sacrifices. Particularly we read that in the book of Kings that the Gentile people were doing human sacrifices to please their gods. And God particularly told his people in Deuteronomy, do not do like the Gentiles do. And he does not like human sacrifices. So another question is that it is against the promise to continue the generations. Here, God is acting against his own plan. His plan was to give Abraham a son through whom he's going to bless the world with generations to come. He's going to take away the son as a sacrifice. What is working against his own plan? And also, we all know or believe that God would not give us the test that we cannot bear. This is a test I don't think any human can bear, to sacrifice your own son. And it is something beyond our things that we can bear. So all of this adding together, putting together, this one particular passage is completely against what we believe and what we preach. But this passage is of great significance, like I said, for all these three religions. Because it points to the ultimate sacrifice, that pointing to the sacrifice on the hill of Calvary, where the sinless Lamb of God was sacrificed for our sins. The Mount of Moriah, and where Abraham was asked to sacrifice, he was provided with another option as a lamb. When he was about to take the life of his son, God intervened in the form of an angel and said, do not put or place your hands on your son. And then he saw a lamb that was in the bushes and he sacrificed that lamb in place of Isaac. And people believe that it is the same mountain, is the mountain of Calvary, that God ultimately sacrificed his only son for the sins of this world. So that is why the passage is so significant, is that it is the ultimate sacrifice that God was going to make for you and me to be redeemed from our sinful situation and the punishment of death. God was going to send his son to be a propitiation for our sins, to be killed, to be sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, on the Mount of Golgotha, Mount of Calvary. All marked the place where God bound himself to fulfill the promise of the covenant that he made with Abraham. The covenant was fulfilled through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Apostle John writes in the gospel he wrote, chapter 1, we read, "Behold the Lamb of God," as the Baptist, John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Later in John's life, he wrote the letters that we read. First John, we read, "Jesus Christ, the righteous one, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world." So this is a passage that we cannot just ignore or cannot just skip, as many pastors don't want to preach on this passage. But I do, because this is something that we all have to understand what it's all about and what it is that God is trying to teach from this. Like I said, tests are very necessary in our, not only in our life, but also when we go to the doctor. Doctor gives us a stress test. You know, you all probably have taken that. Something called a stress test. That you will be put on an exercise machine, inject some dyes, and ask you to do some exercise so that they can measure certain things. And you have to go to a certain level where they have to measure your heartbeats. Many times the presence of these diseases are not detected unless you are put in a stressful, your heart is put in a stressful condition like that. In these cases, abnormalities may be picked up only when you are in a stressful situation like that. And sometimes you call it maximal stress test and minimal stress test, and there are many different tests that we do. And there are also tests that companies do. When I work for a couple of companies, they do stress tests, particularly to put their business in a stress mode to see that they can handle, the system can handle when it is needed. Particularly in a retail business that I worked, when the holidays come, they have a lot of volume of business that will come up. So there is like a couple of months before the holidays every year, we used to have a stress test to make sure that our software, our conveyors, our people are all prepared for this, and do we have enough capacity to handle the volume that we are expecting. So we call it a stress test. Sometime in like September and October we used to do that. These are all put there to stress us or stress the system to find out, can it stand the test, the ultimate real test that is coming up. So Abraham took the test of faith, that the stress test of faith, and it was a maximal stress test, if you ask me. It was one of those maximal stress tests that we can experience in our lives as well. The event that is listed there, Abraham took his son for a long journey to a mountain. And Abraham was quite human like you and us. As we read in verse 3, as we read today also, that Abraham rose early in the morning. And when we read that, I always think about that long night just before that morning. There was a long night just before that early morning that he started that journey to that mountain. Arguably, that was probably the longest night of Abraham's life. The night has its unique way of amplifying fears and anxieties. In the nights, we shadows and things seem to be longer and harder. The lights are dimmer, and the stress seems to be bigger at night for some reason. Someone has said that just I saw the lights at the end of the tunnel, but it was a train. Talk about the big things that is coming and hitting us. So God sought to mature Abraham and use him powerfully in the future. As we read that Abraham's faith was confirmed in that test that he had gone through. Faith is obeying when we don't understand it. on the third day, we read that in verse 4 that Abraham looked up and saw the place at a distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy go over there to the top of the hill. We will worship and then we will come back." He said, "We will go up and do the sacrifice and we will come back." And he knew that there is a God who gave him the son. And even though he asked him to go and sacrifice the son, he trusted in God's promise that we will go and we will come back. He knew that God will probably provide something beyond his understanding. And that is exactly what happened when he trusted in God. And then he called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide for his people on the mountain. When we are pulled from various directions, and sometimes we feel like our rug is pulled from underneath, if we put our trust in God, knowing that there is a God who will provide, he is our provider, and he will provide the solution to our problem at the right time if we put our trust in God. That's exactly what God Abraham did. He trusted in a God like he did before. And then we read in Hebrews, because of that faith, Abraham is called the father of all those who are in the faith. We call Abraham our father. So faith is believing when we don't see it. When Isaac and Abraham were walking up the hill to go to the mountain, Isaac was asking a simple question. He was probably 5 or 6 years old at that time. I don't think he was too young, because Sarah would not let him go when he was like 2 or 3. Or maybe if he was a teenager, he would have resisted. I would have resisted if I was the son. So he was probably around like 5, 6, didn't know what exactly was going on, and at the same time was probably not able to resist in a situation like that, but a poor child. But he was asking a question. The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb? He knows about sacrifice. And he knew when Abraham or their rituals were happening, the sacrifice, there is always going to be a lamb that they were sacrificing. And the child was asking, "Dad, we have the wood and we have the fire. Where is the animal?" That's a difficult question, won't you think? Abraham was asked, but he answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." So I think Abraham had fully trusted in God. When he let go of what he thought was dear to him, Abraham knew that God will provide a way. And God did. And that is what we learn from this experience of Abraham. We all need to know today that God has a better plan than you and I can dream of ever. God's plans are always better if we let go of what we are grabbing on to. Sometimes we have to let it go so that God's will can be done in our lives, which is far better than anything that we can ever plan or dream of. Abraham trusted that God can provide a better option. If he takes his son, God provided a lamb. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the son if he had to die. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." That's what we read in Hebrews. When we are spending the long nights in tears and sighs and sighing out and crying out, remember that God has already provided a plan ahead for us. This was the test of Isaac as well. He got some first-hand knowledge of the walk of faith. God was preparing Isaac as well. I know it was traumatic for him. We would have suggested that the boy needed counseling when we came back, don't you think? In a post-traumatic stress on a child like that. But I think Isaac also learned some tests of faith when he came down from that hill together. History shows that he did. He was confirmed in his faith as one child who was the whole world was looking for to come through generations to come from him. So he was also confirmed in his faith even through that trauma that he had to go on through. He became the father of Jacob, later on became Israel. And because of that, we are here today, that Jesus Christ, the only Son, begotten Son of God, who came to this world to give up his life on the cross of Calvary, a trauma that he had to go through, we were saved because of that. So if we are going through nights of uncertainty and nights of stresses in our lives where we can't go back to sleep, remember, we are not alone. There is a God who is working behind the scenes to plan a better plan for us and also for him. And the ultimate stress test was not just for Abraham. The victory over that test was also important for God. It was not only a victory for Abraham, but it was a victory for God himself. Because that is how God prepared this whole world eventually to be blessed by generations to come. And so many other situations in people's lives in the Bible can be seen through as stress tests, like Daniel was in the den of lions and the three boys were put in fire. They were all ultimate tests. But this stress test is different because I would rather give my life rather than give my son. If there is a question about giving up my life and my son's life, I would rather give my life, don't you think? That is the difference. It is not about my life. God gave his only begotten son, even to the point of death that he had to sacrifice him, so that we can become children of God. That is the ultimate lesson that you and I have to learn from here. Jaina and Dave got married and were looking for a child for so long. They waited for 6 years. Ultimately, like Abraham, probably gave up hope. And eventually, they found out that Jaina was pregnant one day. And they were excited. They were excited beyond their joy. And they came back to the child, and a couple of months gone by, one day, when they went back to look at the child was motionless. They were panicked. They took the child over to the emergency, and the doctors came back with the sad news that the baby had died of sudden death, infant death syndrome. They couldn't understand it. Nobody could understand it. They had been waiting for this beautiful baby they had for 2 months, and now it's taken away from her. They immediately called the pastor, the senior pastor of that big church, rushed over there, and he had so much experience behind him, years of experience, and he had 2 PhDs, and he has preached a lot of sermons on the pulpit, but here he is going there looking at this young couple with no words to share to them. He was completely silent. He could not say a word. What could you tell this couple? But then he said this, Dave and Jaina, I don't know why this awful thing has happened to you. But I know God loves you as if you were the only ones in the whole world to love. If you accept his love, if you believe he does love you, you will make it. If you don't, you won't. That's all he could say. Those words sounded like empty words at that time for that couple. But then a couple of years passed by, the pastor has been moved, and Dave and Jaina were continuing on with their life, And one day the pastor received a letter with a picture of Dave and Jaina holding a beautiful baby. They wrote, "Pastor, you probably don't think we heard you when you said us to cling on to the love of God when our baby was taken away from us. But those were not empty words. We heard you clearly that day. So we have believed over and over that God loves us as we were the only ones to love. We have learned to live in the love of God. We quote your words today, and we quote your word to each other. The Lord is gracious. Notice the picture, we are holding a beautiful new baby, God's special gift he gave to us last year. We don't understand why we lost our first child. We still hurt when we think about it, but we don't question God anymore. People of faith, as people of faith, sometimes we can't understand things, but we are not to question God because he has made a better plan for us. In such moments when we do well to remember that the night may seem long, but it cannot be forever. Those long nights have a unique way of unraveling treasures from heaven. Even the longest night of agony must make way for a new morning of hope. God is aware of everything that happens in our lives, even to the birds of the air he cares for. No matter what we are going through, whether illness, loneliness, or dear stuff that we are holding on to that taken away from us, whatever it is, God has already made a better plan for us. Here we are to trust him. May God bless you with these words as we go from this place and fill you with this peace. Amen. The closing hymn is "I Surrender All," 354. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn, 354. People of God, go in the knowledge that God has a better plan than we can ever plan for or desire. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.